Hello there, and welcome back to the Bundesliga show brought to you by Over the Bar, tuning in on this Easter Monday. Happy Easter to everyone. Hope you've all had a lovely rested weekend, but are all now ready to indulge in a bit of Bundesliga fun as we look back on what was a fantastically exciting match week of action after the international break. Mark, tuning in for the first time in a little while, welcome back. How are you doing?
Yeah, all good. Back in the Bundes Republic since we last spoke. So, yeah, just been enjoying a nice Easter, some decent weather over here. And, yeah, obviously some great Bundesliga action as well. I already see David's been getting involved as well. We'll be talking about that one a little bit more later on.
Yeah, absolutely. What a weekend of action it was. So, yeah, really looking forward to getting stuck into this one. So, it'll probably be quite a meaty show. So I hope you can all just relax and enjoy it with us after what has probably been a long weekend of indulging in lots of chocolate, hopefully, over the Easter break. But yeah, so we're going to kind of sit after this international break, because we're in the run into the, you know, to the end of the season. We're going to move away from our featured four format now, kind of like we did last season. We're going to try and just basically cover as many games basically for the run-in of the rest of the season. So we'll kind of do it topically. So we'll start off with a bit of title race chat, European race, relegation, and anything else that we can't cover, we'll try and cover towards the end. So it'd be more of a generic show and try and focus in on all games. So of course, you know, in the meantime, if your team comes up, you know, by all means, let us know what you've thought of their performances by way of a thumbs up. That would be a great way to start us off. Comment along whilst you're watching live, or subsequently, you know, if you missed the show whilst we've been live, add your thoughts in the comment section below. And of course, press that red button and subscribe to the channel to make sure you don't miss out on all this lovely content as we now go firmly in on the rest of the Bundesliga season. So yeah, one place to start for us, or certainly, you know, where we're going to kick off tonight, Mark, is the title race. And a title race that has over the weekend seemingly been conceded by the Bayern Munich manager, head coach Thomas Tuchel, after his side were bested by BVB, by Borussia Dortmund, in the Allianz Arena on Saturday evening. I mean, where to start with this? You know, I think it would be, it's been a long time where we've done a show and I genuinely feel that Dortmund should be, you know, absolutely lauded for their performance, because, you know, they've been going along nicely, doing what they need to do. Where I feel there have been gaps in their performances, and maybe not that complete 90-minute performance. So I'll throw it to you straight away. Was this the best that you've seen Dortmund play all season? And was it just the fact that they were so highly motivated to beat and best their rivals, Bayern?
Yeah, I think it was definitely their performance of the season, to be honest. I thought they were fantastic in the game. I mean, to keep a clean sheet at the Allianz Arena is something that's just not really looked possible for the BVB in recent years. And, you know, I think they did it with style. And I've got to say, special mention to that man, Mats Hummels, who I thought was just an absolute monster in this game, really. I mean, I've given him criticism probably for the last couple of years, really, in truth, because I feel as though he makes too many mistakes in general. But in this particular game, this was his best performance in years, literally, for me. I really do believe that. And, you know, it's quite ironic because he'd been dropped from the Germany squad as well, hadn't he? So, I mean, it's maybe he'll play himself back in ahead of the Euros, because, you know, every German player is going to want to be part of that summer immersion over here in Germany this summer. But yeah, I mean, that was one hell of a performance. But I mean, the whole squad was fantastic, actually. Everyone from Adeyemi, who, you know, hasn't had a great season, building on a very good debut season last year. I thought he took his goal really well, although perhaps Ulreich could have done better. obviously, this was the game of the two secondary keepers as well, wasn't it? With obviously Coble declaring himself unfit before kickoff, and obviously Manuel Neuer as well, unable to start. And definitely, I mean, Meyer was by far the more impressive out of the two goalkeepers in this one. And another man who's had criticism over his career at Dortmund as well, Meyer. I thought this was probably his best performance as well, especially his way of kind of shepherding that defence. And it was just superb, really. And for me, this is something that Edin Terzic has really kind of added to his repertoire at Dortmund, actually. I feel as though he's very good at defensive football, actually, as weird as it seems. I think these kind of games, when they got the backs to the wall, this is when Dortmund are the best under Terzic. I do feel that. I mean, we saw it at Leverkusen as well. They put in a very good performance earlier in the season. It wasn't quite as good as this, but you know, they got a 1-1 draw from Leverkusen. I thought they were very good and disciplined on that night as well. And I feel as though when Dortmund is set up to defend a little bit more, they do play well. A lot better than when he just kind of unleashes them and just, you know, goes all out of attack. I felt as though, you know, Can and Nemecha as well was very good. Another man, obviously, the 30 million signing in summer, hasn't really made a imprint on this Dortmund side for me this year, really, but I thought he was really good. You know, there wasn't really a man who played badly in this team. You know, Brandt with an excellent assist for the first goal. Füllkrug was holding it up well. And, you know, the resurgence of Jadon Sancho continues as well because, you know, he is starting to play well and he's getting close to the level of form that he was at when he obviously left Dortmund 3 years ago. So that is quite, you know, there are promising signs for Dortmund. I mean, they've obviously still got the Champions League as well. Let's not forget that. I mean, if they can replicate that performance in the, you know, the away leg at the Atletico Madrid, they're going to have a great chance of winning that tie and potentially making the semis of the Champions League. So, you know, they're probably favourites for top four now, let's be honest. I mean, this was a real marquee result for them with obviously Leipzig dropping points, which we'll talk about a little bit more later. And you know, it was a big, big breakthrough weekend for them. The first win over Bayern Munich since 2019 and 10 out of 10 full marks for the BVB.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I thought they were excellent to a man, as you mentioned. Yeah, Hummels was, unbelievable. I thought Schlotterbeck played a really excellent first half, particularly making some really good tackles. I think I remember tweeting about this on the Saturday that I thought the way that the fullbacks played was really good. So Martsen would often come inverted and be that extra option in midfield, basically as a centre mid. Rierson didn't do it as much, so he offered width, which was great as well, and that paid obviously for the second goal, which I thought was really, really patient, really, really calm, clear thinking by Dortmund. And really nice to see Seb Haller as well return mark and make that impact, obviously getting an assist. Obviously, Rierson does all the hard work with the finish to make it 2-0 and finish the game. So I just want to throw out there two questions or thoughts, really. So without putting any kind of downer or diss on Dortmund, were they helped, Mark, by the fact that they knew what they had to do, as in the defensive line, they were going to be in a low block. And so, you know, they're not going to be as open as they have been in other games where on the front foot constantly and having, you know, making those kind of wild interceptions or tackles perhaps. So do you think them knowing, you know, as you said, Terzic is often a lot better with these kind of tactical setups when they're in a defensive shape and know how to play? Do you think that helped them in that sense? And well, obviously Bayern just weren't able to break it. And they were playing all these diagonal crosses from quite central as well. And I know it kind of worked because Kimmich obviously whipped in the ball for Kane where it should be 1-1 on about 20 minutes where he misses that header. And then Kane scores again towards the end of the match with a similar sort of cross, but he's just offside. But I just thought those Bayern tactics and the way that Dortmund played it just fit, you know, satisfied them perfectly.
Yeah, I really do feel as though Dortmund are better in a defensive shape. As I said before, I think Terzic, this is not just this season. I felt similar last season as well. I think this is like a new repertoire that Dortmund have got in their arsenal now that they are very good setting up a little bit more defensively in that 3-4-3. It's kind of like a defensive well, 4-3-3 really, isn't it? With obviously a Rearson, I think, provides quality. He's more of a defence-minded fullback, and I think he really, they look better with him in the side for me. And I think, you know, Martsen has pretty much been top draw since he came in, and this was another top performance from him. I feel as though since they kind of shifted Benza Baini out, I know he's been suffering from injuries, but he never really kind of impressed me during his stint in the first half of the season. And, you know, I do like the look of that back four now. It's, you know, obviously Sula is the one that's missing out, but he was often getting shipped out to fullback, and I didn't really feel as though that worked very well. But yeah, definitely, I think this back four, and I think, as I say, Dortmund with that kind of counter-attacking style is the best. Yeah, I agree with you, David. It wasn't overly defensive, but it was a more defense-minded performance. It was definitely a setup that we simply wouldn't have seen in the past pre-Terzic years from Dortmund, when they were pretty much always a uber-attacking side, gung-ho almost at times, you know. And we still do see that occasionally under Terzic, but like, for example, the Hoffenheim game a few weeks ago. But we often see when they set up like that, they're not as good defensively, I tend to find, and they make more mistakes. When they play the high line, you know, Hummels often gets caught in those kind of positions. And this system suits them. Obviously, they can't play that system every game because, you know, the fans expect Dortmund to score goals. But as you say, Rory, I think the tactical setup was top draw in this match. It really was. And this is what's keeping Terzic in a job, effectively, at the minute, because he is very good at these kind of games. Like, they slip up too often against the, you know, the lesser teams in inverted commas. But I think his big match record is very good by and large, actually. You know, obviously he got that draw last season against Bayern. Okay, they took two defeats, but in general, you know, they were able to beat to get a good point at Leverkusen. They've been good in the Champions League under him, and I feel as though this is a new Dortmund, really. But there's still exciting times for them. As for Bayern, as you say, I mean, everybody talks about it like it was a demolition, but as you say, that miss from Kane was unacceptable from the England number nine, ultimately. I mean, that was an absolute sitter after the Kimmich ball was lifted in. I mean, if it goes 1-1 at that stage, it could be a different game. And It wasn't that Bayern didn't create anything. They did create chances in the match, but it was, let's be honest, Kane was poor in this game. He really was. I mean, we've credited him a lot this season, and rightly so, but this wasn't one of his better games. And, you know, it's nothing really happened for Bayern. We all thought they were back after three straight wins, but clearly not, Rory.
Yeah, absolutely. On Bayern, there's been a lot of smack talk by players, and obviously reaction-wise as well. A lot of people talking about their motivations as well, which I thought obviously was an interesting one. As we alluded to earlier, Tuchel conceded the title in his post-match presser, you know, saying congrats to Leverkusen, which obviously is a bit, it's defeatist, but it's a bit kind of tongue-in-cheek as well. So we'll see what happens with that, and we'll talk about Leverkusen in a second. Obviously really interesting game. The Klassiker game, which is defined, I think Peter was saying it was Jurgen Klopp who first defined or kind of rolled out with that term, which local native Germans don't really like the phrase, but we English kind of supporters are kind of revved up by that. But yeah, all the same, really enjoyable game on Saturday night, and it's obviously ultimately had a huge impact on the top four race and the title race. So if we can kind of shimmy into the other game that you can see on screen, which happened earlier on in the day, which was, Hoffenheim taking on Leverkusen. And for a long, long while, we were looking at the first defeat for Leverkusen all season in any competition. Hoffenheim obviously went ahead through the Bayer goal, which was, you know, really nicely worked. A good little 1-2 between Bayer and Weghorst on the edge of the area. I don't think, who was it, Tapsoba or Kosunu, who doesn't track the runner, didn't cover himself in glory from a defensive point of view for Leverkusen. As Jonathan Tah goes into Weghorst to try and make the interception, but it doesn't quite pull off. And then obviously it goes through Radetzky and obviously ends up 1-0. Interesting game, Mark, because I, you know, really pinned Leverkusen to, well, they did completely control the game. The stats suggest that, you know, the chances suggest that. And just as, you know, when we're thinking, okay, well, we take this, you know, this loss for Leverkusen, then we go into the Clásico, and if Bayern can win it, then we're talking about different, all kinds of different momentum. Well, I mean, the man of the moment ultimately got Leverkusen off and running with a late equaliser. Andrić with a really smart finish, I thought, you know, kind of putting the half volley or the full volley into the ground first so it wouldn't, you know, kind of fly off. And that as soon as it went to 1-1, I was convinced it would be 2-1 within minutes. And lo and behold, it was. Yeah, we've been running out of words for Leverkusen for a long while, but the mentality, and we can talk about Alonso and the news around him as well, which is great for the league and for them. But, I mean, what a way to win it and what a way to potentially basically win the title.
Yeah, I actually felt as though Leverkusen were really good in the game, to be honest. I just think it was that man, Baumann. I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw him play so well, but some of the saves he was pulling out were just ridiculous at times, especially between, say, 65 and 80 minutes. I mean, he must have made three world-class saves in that period. Yeah. And I didn't think Leverkusen were poor by any means at any stage of the match. I think that they were dominant. And just look at the XG, it was about 3.8 to 0.6. I think that says everything. Really, and yeah, it looked like it was going to be one of those days. I mean, as you say, Baumann had pretty much kept the away side in it. You know, they got a bit of a decent goal from Hoffenheim's perspective with the 1-2 between Weghorst and Bayer, but as you say, defensively, and also Hadatski probably should have saved it. By the way, he has started making a couple of errors in recent weeks, by the way. I've got to point that out, even though he's been brilliant all season. That's the second one in a relatively short space of time that he's made, so let's watch him a little bit at the minute. But yeah, I feel as though Leverkusen, you've got to remember the pressure on this team. I keep talking about the pressure. I mean, they've never won the German title. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not just going to be a cakewalk and they're just going to keep blowing teams away at this period of the season. I mean, every win, they're going to have to earn it. Every team in the league has got their own things to worry about. They've all got stuff to play for, whether it be European football or relegation or even just like, you know, keeping managers in jobs basically at the end of the season. So every team's got something to play for. And, you know, we've seen from Freiburg and now Hoffenheim that teams aren't just going to sit down and roll over for the away for Leverkusen. But, you know, 13 points clear now and it is looking over basically. I mean, I'm one of those people, I'm always a bit skeptical to say the league's over, especially when it's not Bayern Munich, because we've seen, you know, lovers of the Bundesliga have seen so many times Bayern like surmount these ridiculous comebacks. But I think this weekend has well and truly ended any possible hope that the Bavarians have of winning the title. I'm one of those guys who'll only say it's well and truly over once it's over the line, because I've seen too many crazy things happen in football in my times watching this sport. But yeah, I felt as though the guts that they showed, you know, after having so much bad luck, the ball just wouldn't go in the back of the net. But the guts this team showed, not only to get the equaliser, but to win it, was just off the scale. And I do believe that was a big part in, you know, Bayern Munich's underperformance in Der Klassiker later on as well. Because I think in title races are often down to, I'm sure Rory knows, as obviously a United supporter in the UK, like title races often go down to like who strikes the first blood and stuff like that. You know, it's not always down to who's the best team, but it's who puts the pressure on at the right times. And that's what Leverkusen have done relentlessly this season. And they've broken Bayern's heart so many times. I mean, pretty much their runder has been typified by last-minute winners, hasn't it? Let's be honest. Yeah. I mean, they've done it so many times. And, you know, the first half of the season, they were just blowing teams apart, basically winning games 3-4 and even 5-0. But the second half, they've not had it as easy, but they've always found a way. And it's just incredible how they've still got this unbeaten record going into April now. 39 games in all comps unbeaten. Obviously, they've got Fortuna Dusseldorf on Wednesday evening for the Cup. Mm-hmm. And it's just unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, no one's going to be calling them Leverkusen after this season, I don't think, again. I think this season has basically just completely killed that nickname, I think, Rory, hasn't it?
Let's hope so. Like you say, I'm always hesitant to go before the last bell or it's actually mathematically done. But yeah, lots of people in the chat very confident calling it. Thomas Tuchel's called it. It's not a great sign when your rival manager's saying, "Yeah, it's done, lads. Don't worry about us. We're no threat at all." Ballam said, "Yeah, can Leverkusen, can Bayer win the Pokal too?" Well, they're as good a favourites as you'll ever have for a semi-final lineup. Kind of feel like the Europa League might be a bit of a distant wonder in terms of it has to be Bundesliga first, and then they turn their attention to the Pokal straight away, don't they? Get themselves into a final, and you never know what can happen. A double looks incredibly on for them right now, though, doesn't it? Xabi as well, Mar. Just very quickly, obviously, the news was breaking in the last few days about him. Stating and telling the club that he wants to be a part of the future, next season. Amazing news for the league. We were talking about it, we were texting each other as the news was breaking. We were saying how great it was, but we were also kind of saying the caveat of money talks, and great that he said it, great that the club have said it. There's still, I'm sure he's a man of his word, and it's great news. And based on what I'm sure Leverkusen will achieve and hopefully go on to achieve even more, there's still that little bit of doubt in my head as well. What about yourself?
Yeah, I think when it comes to football, I am the ultimate skeptic sometimes. You've got to remember I'm an England fan. I'm a Wigan Athletic fan. You just get used to it, basically. And I think basically you can never say never in football. And we've seen it many, many times before when managers come out and say, I'm here for the future. And, I think most people will want to take his word for it. But at the end of the day, say Liverpool or Bayern come in and say, okay, here's 40 million for your manager. Then all of a sudden, do Leverkusen still want to keep him? You know what I mean? Because I know it sounds crazy, but money really does talk in football. And it's just like German clubs run it like a business, basically, in many ways. And money isn't as easy to come by in this part of the footballing world as it is in England, for example. So teams do tend to take the money. But I still believe that the way it was done and to come at this stage of the season, it is very likely that, he will still be there by the end of the season, I think. But at the same time, the skeptic in me did say, is he just doing that basically to say, let's put it off till the end of the season, let me do the unbeaten year, and then we talk kind of thing. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, you kind of have to be cynical in football a little bit sometimes. And we have seen it so many times, when this player's staying here and then all of a sudden the big boy comes back with an even bigger and crazier offer and then everything just changes, So I'm not going to say it's a definite that I think he'll be there next year. The skeptic in me will not allow that. But basically, it is great news. And I'm just happy that he's not announced something before the end of the season, because that's what starts off the crazy collapses. When managers come out and say, okay, I'm going to Bayern at the end of the season, that's when you start getting the collapses. And I'm just glad we're not going to see that, basically. And I think if anything is done, it'll be, July, August kind of time now, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you familiar with that German phraseology?
Yes, stand jetzt. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, as of now. Yeah.
As of now.
I love Ballum's comment as well. That's a great one. Yeah, money. Money talks. Yeah, Rory. Rory, Mark and Peter will not leave over the bar for Sky. Definitely not for Sky Deutschland. Maybe for DAZN. DAZN, I'm interested. But yeah, never Sky Deutschland. Yeah.
They'll have to buy us out. Great stuff. So yeah, really interesting to talk about all of that. Certainly hope that Alonso stays and therefore it has a domino effect on all their on all their players and superstars like Wirtz, Grimaldo and co. And hopefully they will stay. Let's move the show on then and talk a little bit about European footy and the top four race particularly. Which was impacted very, very much so over the weekend by, by the Dortmund result. if we look at it chronologically speaking, Mark, obviously Leipzig were wanting to get off to a good start to the weekend, putting the pressure on Stuttgart and Dortmund by what everyone was thinking was going to be a walk in the park, home win, home banker against Mainz. But it's just another one of those games for Leipzig where they could not convert their XG into goals, basically. Try as they might, they were stopped at the gates by Robin Zentner particularly, and the stubborn Mainz team. Do we just see too much of this from Leipzig at the moment, particularly maybe with that over dependency on Openda? If Openda's not getting those goals, Šeško came into it, couldn't quite finish his chances either. They'll be desperately disappointed to draw 0-0, won't they?
Yeah, how many times is that this season? Really, I honestly thought we were done with seeing these kind of games with RB Leipzig. Yeah, obviously we saw the game against Bochum earlier in the season when they missed two penalties to draw 0-0. Then we famously had that game at Wolfsburg where I think they had like 4.5 XG against one and managed to lose. It's just been one of those seasons for RB Leipzig, hasn't it? But I mean, another point is we do start to see at this stage of the season the bottom teams. I don't know what it is about football, but they always just improve, don't they, at this stage of the season? And, you know, I saw a lot more fight in the Mainz side than we've seen in previous away performances, you know, when most recently they lost 8-1 at Bayern Munich. And I thought, as you say, Robin Zentner, I was really happy to see him return to form as well, because he's had a difficult season in general, the previously reliable goalkeeper. But just the last couple of games, I've seen him come back into a bit of form. So I do hope he's able to retain that. And actually, Mainz could have won it as well at the end. I think Fernandez missed an amazing chance. And then there was a shout for a penalty as well on a foul on Burkhardt. But respect to Mainz, you know, that was a performance that we've not really seen very often away from home this year. But as you say, for RB Leipzig, it's just ridiculous how much their XG must be way below. Their XG must be way above the number of goals they've scored this season. And, you know, a lot of German fans will be happy at the potential that maybe RB Leipzig won't be representing the Bundesrepublik in Europe next season. Well, in the Champions League, at least. But, you know, I still feel as though RB are playing well enough to get in Europe, but they're just not scoring. As you say, they have been too reliant on Openda this season, definitely. They've not got the same goals from midfield. You know, obviously losing Szoboszlai, who always had goals in him, and Kunku left, obviously. But yeah, it's been a frustrating all season for RB. It really has. You know, we saw them miss loads of chances against Real Madrid in the Champions League as well. And it has just been one of those years. I feel as though performance-wise, they've been on a similar level, in truth, to what they've been in previous years. But they've just not taken the chances. And probably a pender aside, they've just not scored enough goals, ultimately.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, an eventful game. But yeah, as we've talked about a lot on this show, Leipzig just not converting those chances. Like you say, XGs and so on and so forth were... I think their XG was only about 1.6. So, well, enough to have got at least one goal, you'd have thought. But yeah, just couldn't convert and therefore leading to a draw and a good result for Mainz. They could have won it as well, theoretically. So... yeah, fast-forwarding time, we saw what happened with Dortmund, and therefore, you know, that ramps up the pressure. And then you're thinking, yeah, great opportunity for Stuttgart to go out and, you know, put a statement onto the top four. And for a long time, Mark, it looked like, well, up to about 60 minutes, it looked like they were very comfortably doing so. Going 2-0 up with Guirassy, finishing a really nice team goal. Like, honestly, if I saw United put any kind of football like that together, I'd be purring all weekend long. Just like one touch football, knowing where the other player is just automatically going to be. Those relationships were great. Stiller knocking it in for Guirassy to tap from close range to make it 1-0 just before the half. Obviously, there was a goal disallowed for offside earlier on in the match as well. And then Stiller, lovely little 1-2 with Undav to make it 2-0. And then you're thinking, okay, yeah, professional performance, see it at home, 3 points, and then you're off and away into the big game, obviously, to come against Dortmund. But, Heidenheim had other ideas. And, your honest opinion, Mark, that at 2-0, if I, I'm not scapegoating by any stretch, because Newbell has been awesome this season. And so he's, you know, he's okay to make a mistake or two. But from a momentum sake, Heidenheim were, to be fair, they were already having a few chances by that point. But obviously the Newbell error from the corner, the own goal sparked a bit of belief in Heidenheim, and it just, it carried on from there, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was a crazy match, this one was, actually. I totally agree that that, probably the first 60 minutes was just absolutely beautiful from Stuttgart. Yeah, it's just, as it's been for most of the season, to be honest. I mean, building on that 3-0 win over Hoffenheim, they were just absolutely outclassing Heidenheim. I think Heidenheim's XG at halftime was 0.02. And I think that says just about everything you need to know. I mean, they had a Stuttgart had a goal pretty harshly disallowed for a very, very narrow offside. You know, the football was just brilliant, as you say. I mean, the likes of Stiller were just absolutely on top form in this game. And, you know, I love it when Undav and Gourassi play. I feel as though that's when Stuttgart are the absolute best as well. I think those two, you know, there were periods when they thought, you know, only one of them could play on their own. But I think since the two of them have come in, they've gone to the next level. It's just been incredible, you know. But yeah, the collapse, what can you say? I mean, that has to be one of the least expected collapse I've ever seen in my football watching history, to be honest, because it was basically a walk in the Easter Sunday park, basically the entire match until that header, as you say. And all I can say is it's a pity they didn't give Kleindienst the hat-trick, really, because let's be honest, he did get the shot on target, and I know Newbell fumbled it, but for me, they should give him the hat-trick for that, really. But it was a poor error. It was a really poor error, in truth. And nobody really saw it coming until the ball went into the back of the net, because it looked like it saved the header easily from Kleindienst. And next thing you know, it had just trickled over the line. But even then, even at 2-1, I felt as though Stuttgart had loads of chances. Again, as you say, Silas, who, let's be honest, his finishing isn't as good as what it used to be nowadays. He has to score that. He had the whole goal to aim at, and after good footwork, as it often is with Silas, he just can't find the finishing touch anymore. But in general, the performance, I didn't actually feel as though it was it went off, to be honest. I felt as though they were still the better side going into the last 10 minutes. Of course, Heidenheim got belief going forward. By the way, I actually think Kleindienst had a relatively poor game before that header for the year. But then, I mean, the way Heidenheim, those two goals were just really, really nice goals.
Yeah, they were.
They really were. I mean, the Jan-Niklas Best assist, as well as ninth of the season, I thought was absolutely top draw. And it was a brilliant finish from the big man up top. And then, you know, the cross coming in from Dinkchi and the header was just top draw. I actually felt as though maybe Newbell was at fault a little bit on the third one as well, because he'd obviously lost confidence a little bit at that point, which is understandable. Yeah. But at this point, you're thinking, yeah, it's the air of a complete collapse, basically. And it was, let's be honest, from that level of comfort. But never count out Stuttgart. And I actually thought that they got a bit lucky because, I mean, Dovedan, who is a player that I've maligned in the past after his time at FC Nuremberg. Like, he wasn't liked at Nuremberg at all. Like, he goes in for a stupid challenge, but was it a red? I was watching the German commentary on DAZN and they seemed to think it was harsh. But I mean, after that, I mean, Frank Schmidt just basically completely lost his head. He ended up getting a yellow card. And you had the feeling when that long free kick was pumped up, you were like, they're going to score here, aren't they? I mean, on top of that, where did he find the extra minute? I don't know, to be honest, because the foul was actually committed with about 20 seconds to go, I believe. And I think they were a bit harshly done with the fact there was enough time for a whole new play to take place. But, I mean, the finish from Undav was fantastic, holding off the defender who dove too early and then finding that finish in the corner. It was just Stuttgart all over, wasn't it? And on one side, I was happy because, I mean, I really want Stuttgart to get top four. I'm pretty open about that, I think, the way they played. But I was a little bit sad for Heidenheim because I felt as though a big decision went against them there at the end of the game. And, you know, clearly the heads went after that red card a little bit. And what did you think, Rory? I mean, do you think Heidenheim were a little bit hardly done by? I guess you're not going to see it that way. But if you were from a neutral perspective, what would you have said?
It is so interesting because my emotions are so all over the place during this match, because at Yeah, at 2-0 in 60 minutes, I felt very comfortable with what was going to happen, what the end result was. I was already kind of, you know, kind of looking forward to the next games, which is always a very dangerous thing to do. And then, as you say, they just got back into it, and that best across and that finish from Kleindienst was ridiculously good. As you say, Neubel maybe a slight head loss, and the third goal just come so quickly afterwards, and you can, you know, it's very easy to say any team that's hit so quickly, bang bang, we'll just go into their shell, accept a loss, and you know, maybe themselves get a couple of players sent off, wherever it might be. But the general belief was amazing. I think there was so many high quality goals in this match as well. The Undav goal is ridiculous. Like, he has no right to bring down a long free kick. You know, his strength on the ball is unreal as well, all through the game, and you've seen it all season. He's so strong. Holds off the player, composure to sell the dummy, then smash it in, literally into the corner, into side netting. What an awesome goal that was. So yeah, some great goals in it. So Stuttgart, in a sense, will be kicking themselves because controlled it for 60 minutes. Heidenheim, then you absolutely have to feel sorry for then getting, for, you know, getting into that position and not winning it. But yeah, it's just belief. And, you know, it now looks like a good point in the end. I suppose it, you know, have to be content. The performance is still high quality from Stuttgart, and Heidenheim played a fantastic role in it as well, despite that they don't really have loads to play for. They're safe at the end of the day. So yeah. Awesome. And as Danny says in the chat, Heidenheim, absolutely our bogey team. Obviously, we were undone on when we went away to them as well. And they pummeled us with crosses in that game as well, and did really well. So, yeah, that's the European race. So, yeah, really good chat about that. Thank you for everyone's thoughts on that so far. So we'll kind of move to the other games that were involved in a relegation race, because... well, it still feels like we're still on for a bit of a relegation battle. Obviously, it's still well on mark between the bottom three. It looked like for a little while, though, that those bottom three would very much be confirmed when Bochum were 2-0 up and seemingly cruising to a home victory against Darmstadt. But yeah, the plucky underdogs that they are, Darmstadt, they showed some real character and some real quality in the goals that they scored to come back and make it 2-2, and it made it a really entertaining Sunday evening game, where I think me and Peter had pinned it down to be a 0-0 dogfight. It was a really good game. So if we start with this one, I know obviously the Augsburg and Köln and Mainz matches happened beforehand. But what did you make of this one? And obviously the return to form, so to speak, for Hoffmann as well, taking his chances really well. So good reactions for the first goal from the corner, making it 1-0. Then a really good header to make it 2-0, albeit from a bit of questionable decision-making from Darmstadt to keep the ball in play. So Kevin Schlotterbeck can then whip in a cross to make it 2-0. Yeah, entertaining Sunday evening game. We had obviously three draws on Sunday, but yeah, this was another excellent game.
Yeah, it's like what I always say, never rule out the Bundesliga. You know, even the game that looks the least attractive on paper, like can serve up a classic, and it did. Maybe not quite a classic, but it was a really entertaining game. I actually thought Darmstadt were unlucky not to be 1-0 ahead inside a minute, by the way. I mean, that didn't look offside in the memory of man to me, that one under Wilhelmsen. I mean, I've got to say, Darmstadt have had some rotten decisions go against them in recent weeks. Like that one against Werder, which would have given them 3 points. And for me, it just simply didn't look offside, that one. I mean, we didn't really get that many kind of VAR lines and stuff either after that one. So that one was a little bit dodgy in my eyes, I'm going to be honest. And I've got to say, Wilhelmsen's a player that I've quite enjoyed watching at times this season. I think whenever he plays alongside Skarke up front, they always look a lot better. And I think both of them are really good in the game. As you say, though, I mean, after that disallowed strike from Wilhelmsen, I mean, I just felt as though Bochum are really, really good. They were. I mean, it's been by far the best we've seen of Philipp Hofmann this season. You know, a man that we credited a lot last season just simply hasn't rocked up for long periods of this season, but this game he was on it and he was really good. Mm-hmm. I thought Sturger was good. Osterhager is a player I'm a big fan of too. I really like that midfield triangle as well of Lossia, Osterhager and Sturger. I think, you know, for a team of Bochum's standing, I think it's a really good trio to have. Yeah, and I thought they were really good probably until, you know, they got the second goal, basically. That's been the problem, basically, for Bochum in recent weeks. They just seem to be lacking that confidence defensively, and they are conceding goals. I think, you know, obviously, Luter was in net for a while, and since Riemann came back, I don't think he's looked quite as confident for some reason. I thought for the second goal, he has to be doing better on that, ultimately.
Big mistake.
I mean, it looked an impossible angle, and it just kind of hit him in the chest and went into the roof of the net. And, you know, he fell to his knees at the end of the game. He knew that he kind of cost his team there. But yeah. I think that wasn't the only thing, though, because, as you say, basically after the 2-1, Schalke with a good finish for his 8th goal of the season, by the way, which is a decent number for a team that have struggled basically the entire year. Mm-hmm. You know, he is a player that looks like he maybe could just about cut it at Bundesliga level. But yeah, they just fell apart after that, the home side. And it is worrying. We're literally at the point where it's worrying for them now because, you know, they're only 6 points clear of Mainz. And they, obviously, they play Mainz next week as well. Sorry, no, Cologne play Mainz. But it's Cologne play Bochum, yeah. But it's going to be another big game to come up. And, you know, obviously they lost to Mainz last week and now they've only succumbed to a draw against Darmstadt. And say they lose to Cologne next week and it's going to be really, really bad times, basically, you know, for them. Which is a shame because I still believe they're a good team, Bochum, especially at home. But they're just struggling to get over the line in games at the minute. Like, you know, we've seen them concede so many last-minute goals already in this runder. And, you know, this was another collapse from an impossible position, really. But as you say, credit Darmstadt. One thing you can never take away from them, they will fight until the last day, you know. And we all know they've not really got the quality to survive in this league. But I think going forward in this game, you know, Justvan was very, very good as well. Yep. You know, I think he has provided a bit of quality as well into the side. Mm-hmm. You know, and I believe, as you say, when they go with Schalke and Wilhelmsen, they look a lot more dangerous. And anyway, a lot better than when Pfeiffer was starting up top at the beginning of the season. So, yeah. But, I mean, you know, that they're not down yet. They go to Mainz next week. And, obviously, that is basically a last-chance saloon for them. But if they can find a way to win that game, they are still in it, basically. So, you know, that they're staying in there. And they are a team that are starting to score goals again a little bit now. And, you know, Schalke, Wilhelmsen, but it's just that defense, isn't it, for them? Like, they really do the hemorrhage goals and chances, basically. You know, every team that goes up against them thinks they can fill the boots, basically, against this Darmstadt side. And, you know, I think they have probably, they probably deserve a few more points on the board than what they've got because, as I say, a few refereeing decisions have gone against them, especially in the runder. But, yeah, credit to them. They're still in it. As I say, I think if they don't beat Mainz next week, they're down, basically. Yeah. But especially if they lose, it's well and truly over, basically. But they're still in it into week 28, and you can't quite count them out yet.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, they travel to Mainz in what's a huge, huge Saturday afternoon as, Mainz host Darmstadt and FC Köln host Bochum. So, I mean, if we get a Köln win and a Köln win and any other result, basically a draw for Mainz, a win for Mainz, even if Darmstadt win, I mean, Christ, it opens things up so much, doesn't it, there? Really looking forward to that weekend of relegation battles. Just quickly then on the 1-1 draw for Köln, Mark. It was a battling display. Your Bavarian brothers were pretty dominant, but I think obviously they were missing Demirovic, weren't they? And I think that was quite clear in the chances that they had. You know, they go ahead nicely from, well, the after effects of a long throw-in from Mbabu, who was really, really good down the right. Again, I know you picked him out in recent weeks, Mbabu, and I, you know, he was a constant threat, whipping in those crosses all game long to make a difference. But, our cult hero came in once more to save, well, save the day eventually. Obviously, the equaliser comes quite early in the game, in the 35th-ish minute, where, well, the Augsburg defence goes completely missing on the counter attack, and so it falls to Damayan to run through on goal. There's only one defender in even in the picture, obviously to play against the goalkeeper, and squares it for Selke to equalise and make it 1-1. But we've given a lot of due credit to goalkeepers already in this show. More due credit has to go to then Marvin Schwaber, Mark, because he had a really good game in net for the Billy Goats. Because if it wasn't for him, Augsburg, they would have run away with it. And on a day that Augsburg like to play, Sunday is often a really good day for them. They often win on Sundays. I think they've got 4 or 5 wins in recent times for them. And Augsburg haven't lost a single game the season after scoring the opening goal. We know they're good chasers and they love a comeback, but they're also good front runners as well. They don't often lose from being in that position. They had an XG of almost 2.5, 25 efforts on goal. Fair play for Colm for showing that that grit and Schwaber in net, particularly for making those big saves.
Yeah, I like your comment there. Start believing in Christian Jakic, Mark. Yeah, I think he has actually done really well, to be honest. Yeah, after myself and Peter watched his beleaguered debut when he was just dreadful, basically. He got a double the other week against Wolfsburg, and I thought, he is starting to kind of make that defensive midfield role his own, really, at the minute. I never thought I'd be saying that, but he is doing pretty okay. But yeah, I think Augsburg were good again, to be honest. I think they were probably lacking that flair of Demirovic, but I mean, I just love the way that they play on the front foot nowadays, Augsburg, after so many years of watching a team that, were very defensive, probably one of the more defensive teams in the Bundesliga. Torup has done, they were practically defending on the halfway line in that game, basically. That was ultimately how they gave away the equalizer, because they had so much space, basically. But I think it was just refreshing to see that, Augsburg believed that they could go out and win this game so much. And as you say, if it wasn't for Schwaber, they probably would have done so. But from the Cologne perspective, as we are talking about the defensive, obviously the relegation zone, as mad as it sounds, Davy Selke, they kind of need him, actually. he has, this season when he's played, he's actually done a half-decent job up there. And I think that was his 6th league goal of the season, but he has missed a lot of games this year. And to be honest, when he's not on the pitch, they do look weaker up top without him. So credit to him, he is starting to maybe finally, after about 10 years of trying, become a Bundesliga standard player, it seems. But yeah, I mean, in general, Köln, they weren't great, in truth, and they probably were lucky to draw the game. I felt as though Kainz, he's just had a beleaguered season, hasn't he, really? I didn't think he was very good at all, to be honest, Kainz. And I've just not been overly impressed with him all year, really, the talisman. Ali Du, he provided some good moments as well on the break, playing against that high line. He's looked pretty good, this Ruck-Runder. But in general, the Ljubicic, Hussein Basic midfield axis is not doing that much for me, in truth. But one thing you can never say about Cologne, we know about the lack of quality in the team. It is, I tip them to go down. I still think they will go down. But they are fighting, under Schultz, the fight has been there, which kind of lost towards the end of the Baumgart era. I feel as though Schultz has got them fighting again, but ultimately I think he's only picked up one win in the Ruck-Runder, and it's just not enough. There's been quite a lot of draws in there and gutsy draws, but they are running out of time, and you feel as though that game next week against Bochum is not quite last chance saloon, but say Mainz win and they don't, then it's really looking like the writing's on the wall for this team, because they're not, I don't believe they're the kind of side that are going to go out there and win like 2-3 games back to back. They're going to have to keep gritting away, and trying to get these kind of points like they did at Augsburg on this weekend. But Yeah, it's just not looking that good for them at all. You know, they've got 19 points from 27 games. They are only a point behind Mainz in that playoff spot and seven behind Bochum. But this is the definition of an absolutely enormous game. I feel as though if they don't win this, anything short of a win just simply isn't enough in this game. And, you know, a look at their fixtures and it's just, yeah, there's not that many winnable games. Like they go to Bayern straight after that game, which, let's be honest, even though Bayern are not looking the best at Vettel at the minute, then I don't think they're going to give up points to this Cologne side. Then obviously they've got Darmstadt at home as well, which is just enormous. Yeah, basically in three of the next four games, Cologne have got Bochum, Darmstadt and Mainz. So, yeah. I mean, what can you say, really? This absolutely enormous, basically, yeah. Good question in from Danny as well, saying any hopes for Demirovic staying after the season? I think he's been linked with about a 20 million move, potentially even to Bayern. I mean, I'm not sure that one will ever end up going ahead, but I think it's going to be hard for Augsburg to keep him because, you know, 14 goals and 14 assists is, well, sorry, 14 goals and 8 assists, sorry, not quite 14, but it's pretty impressive numbers for an Augsburg striker. So, I mean, he is probably going to leave, I believe. Yeah, Peter also seems to agree with that. Yeah, he says he's going to cash in on Demirovic. Halvalev will get his armband back. Bellio good enough off the bench to get another starting audition. Interesting. But, yeah. You know, maybe European football for Augsburg. Let's not forget that draw was enough to take them back into seventh. They would probably be relying on Leverkusen winning the cup because I think they won't be able to get sixth. Obviously, if one of the other teams wins the cup, maybe even Peter's Kaiserslautern, who knows. But if one of those sides wins, they will go into the UEFA, the Europa League. So that would mean there'd only be six places available in the league. So still a lot to play for yet, Rory.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree. One last thing on the Augsburg match. Credit to Jan Thielmann. That clearance off the line was bloody ridiculous. What an awesome clearance that was, because I was destined to be 2-1 off Bellio, who had got off on the end of, I think it was an Mbabu cutback. Still an entertaining and really big 1-1 draw. Well, we've just got a few minutes left off the show to cover the best of the rest. So three other games happened over the course of the weekend, and particularly an opening audition mark for Ralph Hasenhüttl. His first game in charge of Wolfsburg was an enjoyable 2-0 win for his side away from home at hapless Werder. We had two red cards in this one as well. Obviously, one for Jung and one for Maxence Lacroix, who had already scored to make it 1-0. Lacroix just is never far away from any kind of card, or usually red. He's always involved in some description or another. But Lovro Meyer comes off the bench after about 30 seconds or a minute, he should make it 2-0. He has a great chance to secure the win. But then he does, really late on in the match with a nice chipped finish. Didn't see Jonas Vind starting the first match either. So obviously his form has kind of dropped off a cliff a little bit for Wolfsburg. And anything in particular you saw from the VFL to impress you from Ralph's first game? One thing I picked up statistically is that basically they just outran Werder all over the place, whether it was sprints or duels or kilometers covered. Important for them to get off the mark. And none of the bottom five lost this weekend, so there you have it.
Yeah, obviously he went for the 3-4-3, didn't he? And quite some pretty interesting personnel picks as well. Paredes, who the American international, who doesn't start that many games, like he started on the left wing of that 3-4-3. And also the fact that Saar got a start as well and in a front three. Riedel Baku as well, playing further forward than usual as well, also in a part of a front three. I wouldn't say it was brilliant from Wolfsburg by any means, but it was a scrappy game in truth, this one. But it was a lot more disciplined, and Wolfsburg looked like a side that wanted to win again, basically, because by the end of the Niko Kovac era, it looked like they were just kind of trying to get him sacked, in truth. I do rate Hasenhüttl as a manager, yeah, and I felt as though he did well to get them back on winning ways so quick, to be honest. And, as I say, it wasn't pretty. The first goal was as ugly as it's going to get. I'm not sure I've seen an uglier goal in the Bundesliga all year than that. I mean, basically, just about nobody wanted to finish it, and then even the Lacroix finish was just scuffed off the side of his foot. It could have gone just about anywhere, but it went into the back of the old onion bag. As for Werder, I mean, what's happened to them, really, from the start of the Rückrunde when they were turning Bayern over with that brilliant, disciplined performance? Then they beat, some other good teams at home, basically, and they were flying. I think they went on a 7-8 game unbeaten run. And you were thinking, Werder for Europe, or at least for seventh place. But what's happened to them in recent weeks is a disaster, basically. And, the likes of Agu was pretty awful in the game as well. Velkovic was making errors all over the place. And even Dutch is really, he's probably the biggest nosedive I can remember him having since Werder got back in the Bundesliga almost 2 years ago now. Mm-hmm. He's not been good for a good while. I actually thought Voltimato was probably the best player on the pitch for them in this game. Yeah. He had the one major chance, and it was actually a really good save from Per Van as well in the Wolfsburg goal. So yeah, I didn't think this was a pretty game, but it was a big win for Hasenhüttl to get off the mark. They did need that one, and obviously the way the table looks now, it looks a little bit better. The 8 points clear now of Cologne in that of Mainz in that 16th position, and I don't think anyone's going to be talking about them as relegation candidates anymore. But obviously, work to be done. He needs to find a settled starting 11 as well, because if you look at the number of key players and money on that bench from Wolfsburg, it's off the scale. The likes of Astrid Vranks, Vasek Cherny, Lovro Meyer, who let's not forget was signed for, I think, 20 million euros this summer. And, Jonas Vind, Thiago Tomás, Fannberg, all those players came into Wolfsburg on big, big money signings, and none of them are deemed good enough to start at the minute. So clearly still problems at that club, but back to winning ways anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Danny, enjoying your phraseology, Mark, back of the onion bag. Yeah, it's a good one. It is a good phrase. So the Christian Streich farewell tour, is off to a good start. Very comfortable 3-0 away win. Just a good week for Freiburg overall. Staying close to Augsburg in terms of that seventh place spot. Potentially a Europa Conference League spot should Leverkusen win the Pokal. This result doesn't shock me at all in terms of just the meek performance by Gladbach. We could be talking about a new head coach sacking or parting of the ways quite soon, I think, unfortunately for Gerardo Seriane. Really good week or couple weeks for Gregorich as well. Mark, obviously a hat-trick on international duty, following it up with a goal himself at the weekend. Role as well, breakout player, obviously a number of different Freiburg youngsters who have done quite well this season, kind of getting a nice finish there to make it 2-0, and a good bit of interplay between Doan and I forget who the other player was involved in the goal. It might have been Roel himself to make it. Eggestein, apologies. Yeah, it was Eggestein to make it 3-0. Push them further forwards for European thoughts. That was a good win for the away side. Frankfurt and Union playing out a 0-0 draw, Mark. And so from a European perspective, we've got Frankfurt in sixth place on 41 points. So still a bit of a gap between them and Augsburg and Freiburg, but still a bit underwhelming from Frankfurt. I mean, they've drawn so many games this season, 11 draws now. Can we see Augsburg or Freiburg potentially catching Frankfurt? I mean, it kind of feels like they're starting to put their feet up already.
Yeah, it's been a funny season for the Hessen team, hasn't it, Frankfurt? I mean, I really don't know how to analyse them. Part of me wonders how the sixth, in truth, because I can't really remember a spell in the season where they were, winning games on a regular basis, whereas You know, Freiburg, I can actually see catching them. I think that I saw something back in that Freiburg performance that maybe remind me of like last season and probably the last three seasons teams, really. I mean, they were resolute defensively. They scored some good goals. You know, Doan was back on form as well, which was good to see. And as you say, Frankfurt are just kind of drifting through. And part of me wonders whether they even want European football next year. I think that it could be time for them just to have a year where they don't have European football because, you know, you can't really see they're doing badly because sixth is probably where they would have expected to finish roundabout, really. But as you say, the performances haven't been that good to watch. And I'd much rather watch, you know, an Augsburg or a Freiburg than I would a Frankfurt, to be honest, this season. And I mean, Ekitike, I think is the way you pronounce it, has been a massive flop as well so far. He's really disappointed me. I think, you know, coming in on massive kind of, you know, being billed as the next Kolo Muani and stuff. And I don't even think he's come close to scoring a goal yet, let alone score one. So, yeah, he's been a letdown. And you can't really say Frankfurt have been terrible because they've only lost six games. But yeah, it's just, I feel as though Marmoush had a good Hinrunde, but, you know, since the AFCON, he's not really come back in the same form, I don't feel. Chaibi was very good in the early part of the season, but he's also not been as good since the AFCON. And yeah, it's been a weird season for them. I actually thought Union probably should have won this game, in truth. I thought they were the better team for long periods, and they are a side that are back on the up a little bit now. And, you know, basically, the defence is looking very much back to what it was previously. They're keeping a lot of clean sheets. They're not conceding many goals again. And it's great to see, to be honest, because we were all worried that Union might potentially get relegated at one stage. But yeah, for Frankfurt, it's all very underwhelming. And as I say, maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing if they got kicked out of that Conference League spot, because it's just not really clicking. And I think they need a bit more time to kind of you know, get a proper starting 11 in that team at the minute.
Yeah, lots of players that were brought in January just haven't quite hit their mark, have they? Poor old Donny van der Beek's back bench warming again as well, isn't he? So, yeah, that's all nine games covered this evening. So, yeah, that'll bring us to a lovely close. So, thank you to everyone that's tuned in and watched along with us. Great chat in the comments, really good thoughts and theories from everyone and questions. So thank you to everyone that's commented along tonight and watched with us and enjoyed. So yeah, we'll be back with you on Thursday evening for another prediction show. But otherwise, I'll gladly hand over to you, Mark, to finish up tonight's show.
Yeah, so if you enjoyed what you saw, then don't forget to check out our Twitter stream, which is obviously at Over the Bar FB and at Over the Bar Extra. Also, don't forget, we're not only a YouTube show as well, we're also a podcast, so check that out in the link. And don't forget to keep liking, commenting and subscribing, and let us know your opinions on what's happening in the world of German football. Thanks a lot again to you guys who checked in today, and we'll see you again later in the week. Bye-bye, guys.